Proclamation number 6926 of 23rd of September, 1957. Justification of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. The commandments of love for God and neighbor are the primary things in human existence. For if they are fulfilled, then the meaning and purpose of earthly life is fulfilled, and then the divine order, which was once overturned, is also restored. God's plan of salvation now only aims at the establishment of divine order, and all his working and activity is only directed towards this, because the state of order is the divine one and because everything divine is also incomparably blissful. God as eternal love will only ever want to make happy, but according to his perfect nature, making happy of his creatures can never take place outside of justice. Thus only something divine and perfect can be made happy by him as it corresponds to his love, because the imperfect is guilty of its nature, because in free will it gave itself up to perfection, thus it also voluntarily spurned bliss. This was a guilt which put a barrier in God's delightful love, admittedly not a barrier which God's power could not break through but which would question his supremely perfect being if God, despite this rejection, wanted to bestow on the imperfect being what perfection presupposes. The debt must first be paid, the being must recognize its guilt and seek to restore the state in which it originally found itself. For justice cannot be eliminated. The creature's happiness can therefore only take place in a state of divine order, and happiness means, being permeated by divine strength of love. It means that divine strength of love flows into the being, which is now also able to create and shape itself for its own happiness. But it is extremely difficult for the being which once rejected God's strength of love to enter the state of divine order again, because in the lack of strength resulting from the rebellion against God it also lacks the strength to change itself again, and therefore it would have to eternally remain in the voluntarily striven for wretched state if it were dependent on the being itself to return into the state of divine order. Alone, without help, it is no longer able to do so, for the guilt was too great and the depth abysmal into which it fell through this guilt. God's love and mercy, in turn, was so great that he wanted to provide this help for the beings which had fallen away from him. But his love could not simply cancel a guilt because his justice did not allow for this. He had to demand an atonement and the debt had to be paid. And because the debt was immense and the beings themselves would never have been able to pay it off in their weakness and darkness, a supreme being of light offered to pay the debt on behalf of God so that God would become righteous and his love could give itself away again. The being of light wanted to make a sacrifice to God which, however, also corresponded to this great guilt. It wanted to make use of God's strength of love in order to be able to carry out a work of mercy as a human being which was intended to bring redemption to all fallen beings. It wanted to divest itself of its strength and light, take on a human form and now, as a self-weak being, walk an excruciatingly difficult earthly path with the aim of sacrificing itself, of giving its life for its fallen brothers. And it only wanted to make use of God's strength of love for this purpose. It wanted to bring love within itself to its highest development and thus exemplify a life of love to people which earned it God's strength of love, which resulted in eternal love completely filling it, that it took possession of the body of the man Jesus and thus it was now also possible for it to suffer the most dreadful death on the cross and to atone for guilt through its suffering and death. and God accepted the sacrifice. His love was willing to make even the compensation by himself which God's justice demanded. The guilt was therefore redeemed by Jesus, in whom God embodied himself, because love, which is God, completely filled the human being Jesus, and thus the human being deified himself, i.e., united with God, thus became one with him. Every once fallen being must strive for this deification and make it its aim, and since deification can only be achieved through the irradiation of divine strength of love, the fallen being must therefore live a life of love in the human stage, through which it enters into intimate union with God, and thus the divine order is also restored. 9/23, 1957, and because people are without realization until the divine light of love illuminates them, they have been given the commandments of love for God and neighbor, the fulfillment of which earns them that light of love. And they should also know why this commandment is the most important commandment. They should know that only love can lead to union with God, and that union with God also means divinization, the establishment of the original state where everything moves in the law of eternal order, and can now also use the strength flowing to it from God in love and wisdom. In the will of God, which is now also the will of the being, love is therefore the fundamental law. But the human being is still weak and darkened in spirit as long as he stands outside of divine order, as long as he still lives under the burden of original sin. And so long he will hardly perform works of neighborly love. But the knowledge that Jesus Christ's act of salvation has also been accomplished for him can cause him to call upon him. He can mentally occupy himself with him even if he is not fully convinced of his spiritual mission. And every thought of him in goodwill is already a bond which is a beneficial effect. For the divine Redeemer himself already thereby gains influence on the human being's soul. And everything else merely depends on whether the human being allows himself to be determined by this influence or not. But the influence consists of stimulating the human being into loving activity, for Jesus Christ will do the same as he did on earth as the human being Jesus. He will only ever point to love, because this is the principle of divine order. Thus love has to be practiced without fail in order to first reach a degree of enlightenment which then determines the human being to seriously seek unity with God. And thus even people who know nothing about Jesus Christ and his act of salvation can attain this degree of enlightenment if only they live in love. For a spark of love is placed in every person's heart. Thus a person only needs to be willing to love, because the ability to love exists as a divine gift of grace. The human being can remedy the weakness which burdens him through original sin through loving activity, because Jesus Christ died for all people, because he accomplished the act of salvation for all people. These people have entered the divine order through their willingness to love, and if the knowledge of Jesus Christ is conveyed to them, they will also grasp it and enter into conscious contact with him, to whom they had already unconsciously united through love. But the realization will come to them in a flash when they leave earthly life, and therefore they can be considered redeemed, because the soul pushes towards Jesus Christ by virtue of its love. Every person is able to practice love, because God does not completely abandon a person to his adversary, and because the human being's will is also influenced from the good spiritual side. But the weakness of will is often so great that he needs help, which will certainly be given to him through the call of Jesus Christ. But where the knowledge of Jesus Christ has not yet been conveyed to the human being, the forces of light are constantly endeavoring to stimulate people into a life of love, and the knowledge can also reach them through inner enlightenment, no matter in which form it is offered to them. But they will learn to believe in a God who is inclined towards them in love and mercy. And if they consciously surrender to him, they will also be released from their past guilt. They will be freed from the power which kept them bound, because eternal love itself loosens the chains of the being which practices love and thereby joins it again in free will. Amen.